Well, I had a challenge on art. An artist came and said, "You said I can do all things through Christ Jesus. I'd like to see you do something." I said, "I'm not on exhibition. I'm not trying to prove this. I believe it. I don't care where anybody else believes it or not. I not only believe it, I know it. I've seen it perform everything it can be formed except literal self-resurrection. I've pretty near seen that. So I am not fooling around with this thing that I'm talking to you about. It is not something that has to be proven. It's already been proven. It's something that has to be accepted. But the minute that you put this carpenter thing in front of it, it hasn't got a ghost of a chance. Because they say, 'I know that carpenter. He comes from Nazareth. He has no education, no breeding.' Well, you know, breeding is something you can't acquire. See, that's something you have. Breeding is something that cannot be learned. And you're never well bred until you understand Jesus Christ, really, because you have such capacities to do such evil things until you do bad things. But anyhow, there's the idea. So this challenge came to me about pictures, and a fine artist in London said to me, "You say that we can do all things through Christ Jesus." I said, "Yes, we can." "Well, why don't you paint pictures?" I said, "Because I've never had any training." She said, "You said training was not necessary." I said, "Yes, I did." "Well," then she said, "why couldn't you paint pictures?" "Well," I said, "I guess I can." Well, that's all there was to it. In due time, I found myself with 40 rather good pictures on my hands. I had never painted anything, but had a little training in the schools, which was not too profound, as you know. And every picture was sold. I'm just telling you this. I'm not trying to sell myself, you see. I'm just telling you, I'm trying to awaken this thing within you. It's so magnificent. We're in a new age. The second coming is going to take place. And it's not going to be technical. It's going to be simple. And it's going to be you making a recognition of something. So, I saw it in Germany again, and I saw it in New York. Well, I saw it in books, because one night I awakened when I was 17 years old, and I had this story coming to me, and I wrote it down on some paper I had there, and I took it down to the printer, and I said, "Here's something I've written." And he said, "Well, it reads pretty good." And I said, "How much would it cost to get it in print?" And he said, "Well, I'll figure it out." So I figured out. So it cost $200 for 2,000 copies. There's only 90 pages or 100 pages. I said, "I'll put it in a nice cover and I'll tie it with a silk cord." Wow, that's just perfect. And I was so excited I could hardly see straight, but I didn't have $200. So I said to him, "Well," I said, "if it's to be published, you see, it must be published." In Christian science, we learned integrity, you know. I was a Christian scientist, and one of the beautiful things I learned in Christian science was integrity. You either believe or you don't believe. I asked a doctor once, I said, "Do you know anything about medicine?" He said, "Well, of course I do. What do you think I'm a doctor for?" I asked a musician once, "Do you know anything about music?" "Yes." "Can you play?" "Yes." I asked a Christian once, "Do you know anything about Christianity?" "Why, of course I do. I've been a Christian since a child." "Can you heal?" "Well, what's the matter?" So anyway, I wrote this book, and I was coming back up the street, and I was kind of happy about the whole thing anyway. And I said to myself, I dismissed it. You see, unless you get to throwing the seed in the ground and stop working with yourself, you're not going to get to first base. If you don't let this thing out of your mind, it never gets a chance to improve or grow or anything. If you've got this little James Smith or John Jones there, and you're going to make him a success, or her a success, or he's going to do this, or something like that, then you're going to try to make it by pinching your mind in various and sundry shapes. It isn't going to take place because he said, "You fool you. Don't you know that a seed must fall into the ground and rot? A seed is your idea. And it's wrapped around with all the old rotten thoughts that you have about yourself. And that's got to fall away from it. Who are you to do this thing? Would you like to come down here and stand up here and speak? You'd like to, but you couldn't." Well, I don't say that's true of all of you, but many of you would say, "Well, I'd be scared to death to do it." What are you scared of? You're scared of Jesus the carpenter because he's a carpenter and he has no business speaking. The minute you got away from that, whatever you had to do, the position you were placed in, that invisible power comes through into manifestation. And whether it is to write a book or paint a picture or dance a dance or take a part or quote from anything in the wide world, it is automatic, it comes through you. But that is not going to be done when you twist it around in your little tube of four minds and think, I'll get a hold of this God power and I'll make you do something. Well, anyway, I was coming along the street in this mining town, and we lived on the main street because there was a car track on it. Everybody that was of any importance lived near the car line. It was just quite a while ago. And so I was coming along, and I passed one of the so-called mansions in the street. You know those mansions? They're wonderful. Had all gingerbread and everything. And I heard a knock at the window, and I went in, saw a hand begging me, and I knew the people that lived in there, but I didn't know the woman that met me when I went in. She had come to our church a little bit, and she said, I saw you going by this morning, and I was over here visiting the Williams, and it called something to my mind. I remember that my husband, before he passed on, gave me an envelope, and he told me to give it to some young Christian scientist sometime when I thought that they deserved it. She said, I don't know what's in the envelope, but I've forgotten all about it till this morning. He died 6 months ago, and I'm giving it to you. And I opened the envelope and it had four $50 bills in it. This is not a demonstration in the sense that you can make things happen. This is what you can take. I don't know where you can stand it or not. The power is so hot. It's so wonderful. It says, ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be. Not maybe, or not perhaps, or not because you're good, bad, or indifferent. What you can take. But if you can't take it, you can't take it. And you can't make it, because you don't believe. When you pray, believe. Well, I want to believe. Well, that's no good. I'll try to believe. That's no good. That's like a child trying to believe in the law of addition. It won't do any good. He becomes the law of addition. And the simplicity of this thing knocks us out. I studied music for a good many years, and I studied in Germany and in France too, and I got to be a fair musician. Just a fair musician, because the teacher told me finally, and she was a marvel too, and she said to me, Wally, you're never going to be a concert pianist. She said, you got good technique and you got good understanding, but she said, you take too many liberties. I said, well, I'm kind of sorry in a way. I've spent a good many years at it, but I can't help it. She said, I like it. And she was a big musician. I said, well, I like it too, so that's good enough. So I decided right then I wouldn't be a musician, and thank God for that. If there's ever a slave's job, it's that. If you ever get caught in that music, it'll drive you to the end of the world. And you never can. The technique is terrific. Passage after passage, you know. You try to get that legato effect in there. No, once more. I sit that piano till tears would just be right there at the edge of my eyes. I'll bet if she makes me do this again, I'm going to splash on the keyboard. It was one note that had to be sunk into. While we don't see these things, that's the finesse of it. That is the beauty of all performance. You never see that. Of a fine actor or actress, you never see the hours and the weeks and months and everything else of training that's gone into that. You don't see it at all. It's all been put in there. And finally it comes out in a natural way in you. That is a little bit like this Christ thing. So the doctor said he could make something. The Christian said, well, I'd like to. He's afraid. You know that one of the most beautiful statements in the world, and if you ever took it to yourself and kept it, I am not afraid. I tell you, it's terrific. Because you are afraid. This carpenter is scared to death. He's going into Jerusalem. He's going into the four square thing. He's going in there and he is scared to death. And he's going before the doctor. Well, he doesn't know anything but how to drive a nail. You don't know anything. You know a little that you have learned. That isn't any good. It goes beyond that. It's recognition. Who are you? Why don't you write that down? Across your little heart down here. I am not afraid. Now, I'm not asking you to develop an ego or become a conceited ass and stand out there like this. I am not afraid. I am asking you to be not afraid. I am asking you to hear that. And when you hear it, you will not be afraid of what man can do unto you. But you will not go out to clamor over the midnight and storm, and you will not go out to try to prove that thing. Eventually, when the seed is dropped into the ground and has rotted, all the thoughts that you have wrapped around it Well, you wanted a car, or you wanted a house, or you wanted something or other. Or perhaps you would like to just have a little bit of ease in your life. How would you like to have that? Not dis-ease. Not uneasiness. How would you like to have just a little bit of ease in your life? A place where you weren't always thinking about the next move. Would be nice, wouldn't it? How could you have it? Since you have all these things arrayed against you, there's no possibility of you getting it. But then there's that funny thing that comes through like that, and you will do. Well, so I took the $200, or $450 bills, and I went down to the printer, and I said, let it go. And I was kind of smart for 17 years old. I was getting pretty smart, you know. And he said, what'd you do, rob a bank? And I said, no. But there it is. Then after that, this funny thing would come to me. It'd say, write a book. And the book just rip out the end of your fingers. The trilogy was written in 5 weeks when I was giving 3 lectures a day in New York City. There are 3 full-length book-length things. I act like I'm trying to tell you. You think I was really doing it, but I'm not. I'm trying to help you. And I'm the only guinea pig that I know of. I've tried it on myself, and it works. And you are at the place right now where you can. I don't mean to say that you're going to spread like a green bay tree out here like that. There's going to be something nice coming you. A sense of, well, a savoir faire of a sort of a well-being within you. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Did you hear that, or did you just hear it? What do you say before you say bread? Before you say the word, what do you say? What's in your mind? You are going to say the word bread. After you say it, only English-speaking people will understand it. Before you say it, everybody in the world understands it. They know exactly what you have in your consciousness. And that is the reality of bread and not the word that you say out here. And if there is no substance back of it, the word is nothing. You may say peace, peace, and there is no peace. And you can say, peace be still, and set that thing into operation. Is this difficult? Can't you remember what I'm saying to you? No. I wish I had that down. I wish I could remember it. You haven't got it down, and you can't remember it. The human mind can't remember anything. It just loses everything. It distorts everything. But I shall recall you whatsoever I've said to you. Can you hear that? And that takes you out of the picture. That takes this little pygmy mind of yours clear out of the picture. And you can, if you can, recall. But you can't if you try with this carpenter business. Because he's only going to think about a yoke for oxen or a house, a crudely built house. This is the most thrilling thing that ever happened to you. To come in contact with this Christian, with this Christ idea. And I see that a very lovely person, I won't call any names, but she's the wife of the minister, she gave me this subject here, Christ Speaks. I thought it was very beautiful, and I promised to mention it once in the lecture anyway. Because I felt some inspiration, I can't stay on the track very well, you know. I find myself going off in a lot of directions. But it was a beautiful thing. The difference between when Jesus speaks and Christ speaks is when you, John Smith, are speaking and when this inspiration speaks through you. That's all the difference there is. And when that thing speaks through you, it's done. And you've got nothing more to do but to carry out the mechanics of it. And it is like magic. If there was such a thing as white and black magic, that would be the white magic to the thing. But you're afraid of it. What does that person know about it? Nothing. They ask God about Jesus. What does he know about it? See, he has no learning. But you're educated. You've been to school. I went to school. The first day I went to school, my sister took me to a kind of a kindergarten, first grade thing. And she said, you stay here till I come for you at noon. But then along about 10 o'clock, the teacher said, we're going to have recess. I didn't know what recess was. But anyway, she said, you can go out now. So I went home. So my mother said, what are you doing at home? I said, I've had enough of that stuff. And I've been in school every day since for making that statement. And so have you. And we're not educated yet, are we? Because we can't take it. We're still trying to learn. We want to accept this. You will not accept it. If you see, if it's something within you, in the soul of you, and deep within you there is that beautiful thing, that magnificence, that Christ, and then you begin to see that everything Jesus said was coded. That's why it doesn't work. You haven't decoded it. You're still using the surface words on that thing, and it's all in code. Well, it says something like this: your fathers did eat bread in the wilderness, and they are dead. You read that, didn't you? It's interesting. Your grandfather did the same thing. I've thought a lot about that lately. Yeah, they went out in the desert. Take your picture. Get your picture. You must picture these things. Why do they use the word desert? That might be right in the midst of a city. You can be as much in the desert in New York City as you can anywhere else if you want to take it symbolically. But here we see, your fathers ate bread in the wilderness. They are dead. What did they do? They had quail too, I believe. And that was quite a demonstration, wasn't it? To go out in the desert where there was nothing. And they manifested that, so they had a degree of understanding. We have to admit that. They had quite a degree of understanding. In the 19th century, we were told that we could also do that. But that's only one part of the equation. It says they did that, but they died. Well, then what's the good of it? I thought many times, what's the good of being healed of disease if you're going to get sick again? Where does this thing of life business come into it? If it's going to be a perpetual healing, where does this magnificence of life come in to the thing? Do I believe or am I led astray? Am I following the ancestor teaching of those old ancestors, those old boys that ate sour grapes and set the teeth on edge for five generations? Is that the stuff I'm following? It seems to be. Since they died and went through and they died and they got a little bit of something and they got a little bit of bread and they ate it and died and they got some quail and they ate it and died. Well, you may say it's wonderful that they were able to demonstrate enough bread, but I don't think it is. Lots of people do that without even lifting a finger. But it ain't so wonderful. And yet it is. In one sense of the word, here they are in the desert, and there is no apparent way. And he typifies the beloved when he manifested the 5,000 loaves and fishes in the desert. But it isn't any good. And I read that many, many times. Last 6 months I didn't do anything. I haven't talked or anything. I've been kind of centering myself a little bit around it, and I said, it is time that this thing comes into being as something natural and not as something that you have to work with all the time. It is an assumption. You become conditioned to it. I'm conditioned as a speaker. I will go anywhere in the world, and I can get a crowd anywhere in the world. The crowd is within me. It's in my consciousness. It will come out. Can't help. It is automatic. I do nothing about it. I wouldn't turn my hand over for it. I wouldn't do one bit of publicity for it. But why? That is something I'm conditioned to. Do you understand? Well, why don't you get a little bit conditioned to this thing of life? Instead of this awful thing that you call health, that you're having and letting go of and working with and knowing you have better health. What good is health? It's something you got shut up in your body. It isn't any good. But life is a universal idea that you live and move and breathe and have your being in that. And you automatically partake of that nature and you are healed. That goes financially too. So we find these people in the desert. And here's Jesus saying to you, well, they went out in the desert and they proved the law. This is what he says in so many words. They demonstrated bread and fish. But they're dead. Why did he say that? You want to spoil everything? What he said following is the key. But you have bread that they know not of. The bread that comes down from heaven, which if a man should eat thereof, he shall never die. Wow. What is that? That's the decoding of something. You mean that? But it says you would be kind of angry if somebody said to you, Jesus Christ is a liar, wouldn't you? I think you would. I know you'd be angry enough, but you would be quite disgusted because you know that he isn't. All right, he said it. Are you going to argue? But you have bread. Where is it? Well, that's something you can't demonstrate. That's something you've got to recognize. That's something that is beyond all the human thought that you ever had in your mind. That's a new day. We're coming right into it. The second coming of this magnificence is here. And it's going to do away with many things that you have today that you've been trying to overcome. It's going to do away with disease. It's going to do away with health. And you are going to have a thing called life, in which you live and move and breathe and have your being. And that is a changeless power that searches the joints and the marrow. And everything is alive with it. Everything. So that you then begin to see that there's nothing very strange about this. And you wonder about it when he says, this is given to the child and not to the adulterer. And all adults adulterate. That's all they do, commit adultery. With everything. Look what we're doing in this beautiful world right now. Committing adultery. Nothing but adultery. War. Bombs, Sputniks, everything else. This beautiful thing. My God, it's so beautiful. The world is so wonderful. This is the kingdom of heaven. And we're smearing it over with human thought and think, I must acquire, I must get it. I must possess. But presently, you're coming out from among them, and you're going to be, you see. You're going to come away from them. And like Tennyson says, the Arab folded his tent and stole away. This is picture, this is drama. You know, the Bible's just full of drama. It just throws itself in pictures. Can't you see that camp of the Arabs in the middle of the desert? The Arabs are such gorgeously picturesque people. They make pictures everywhere they stand, everything else. And they just naturally fall into what we call a picture effect. And he said, this one then, sitting there with a group of these Arabs in their beautiful robes. They don't talk, you know. One Arab goes to visit another, and he sits quietly down, and they spend a couple of hours together, and they don't exchange a half a dozen words. And he goes home and says, he had a lovely visit. They didn't find words were necessary. So anyway, one of them is sitting there, and they're all sitting there, and one of them suddenly goes on another elevation. And he folds his little tent, and they see him disappear in the desert. It's interesting. You're in such a wonderful place now, a new beginning, a beginning of the Christ. It isn't religious. See, Christ, if he came today, Jesus came today, he wouldn't go to the Catholic, the Presbyterian, and he wouldn't go to any sect at all. He wouldn't go to them and say, you are it. Because he had no religion. See, it could not be segregated. It could not be cut up into packages. It is. If you were in the desert and made the recognition, it would be as effective as if you stood in the midst of the most glorious cathedral in the world. But do we believe this? Sounds beautiful, doesn't it? Yes. Sounds nice. If I could only understand. But you can't understand. You are ignorant. You are hopelessly ignorant. There's nothing you can do with this human mind. It goes right around in circles. It has already been predicted that most of the space business that we're talking about now will fold its wings and go quietly out of the pictures before very long. It is simply a flurry of human thought trying to do things. To find me, the French say, to find me, my beloved, takes away all golden with butterfly. Oh, when you say that to anybody, this hard-headed man or this hard-headed woman, I don't want any foolishness like that. I want to know what you do and how you do it. And I want to go there and say, now, see here, God, you give me that money. You know I need that. I'm a good person. I have done good for you. I've tried to keep you into the pictures. As a man said on the air the other day, he said, if you don't contribute to this program, we'll have nothing to depend upon but God. And I tell you, it's getting pretty tough when you've only got that to depend upon. Who are you anyway? And where are you going? And out there in the desert, all right. I think it's wonderful. You went through on dry land. That's another interesting thing. I like to hear about these inanimate things, such as we call inanimate, being affected by the animate mind of you. I like it. I like to know that the water was controlled and they went through on dry land. I know it could take place, you see. I know that it can be done. Those things are not the magic that they used to be. They are the normal things. But they are dead. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. What's the good of it? They made a magnificent... Oh, they were wonderful people, I dare say, some of them. I don't know about all of them. You know, they borrowed the jewelry from the Egyptians. I never did understand that, how they could borrow the jewelry and all the money from those Egyptians and tear out overnight, and they kept the jewelry, they never did give it back. We've got a lot of reading to do in the Bible, and you've got to see these things. Anyway, there were some of them that were all right. So they went through on dry land. Well, that's interesting. I believe that. I know that you could do a comparable thing if you had to. Literally. I'm not talking about symbolic. I'm tired of this symbolical truck that goes on in the truth. It's all symbology, but it's no good. You see, it's got to materialize. I can sit within myself subjectively, and I can live in a mansion, or I can live in any place that I wish to, and I can enjoy it. And they say, well, I enjoy it in there. But that isn't what Jesus was talking about. He said, lay it on the table. When he said bread, he put bread down. When he said wine, he put wine down. When he said gold, he put gold down. It was not symbolic. It was real. He was not a person that worked in a lot of symbols and said, well, maybe you can if you're a good boy or girl. Said nothing about it. Oh, any man, every man that thirsteth, let him come to the waters of life and drink freely. And it requires a recognition. And if you can't recognize it and make the assumption of it, it can't possibly take place in you. It just cannot function. It's right there, but it cannot function. Well, I want it to. The fact that you want it to makes it impossible. Because you do not believe that it is. So he said, come apart from among them and be separate. So he said, but they're dead. Well, that seems too bad, because I learned for years how to demonstrate health and money and stuff like that, and it was fairly successful. It was pretty good. But not 100% by any manner of means, but pretty good healings and pretty good manifestation. Fairly well along the line. I couldn't complain. But anyhow, not good enough. Because it was something I had to use. And I didn't realize it used me for a long time. So I stopped demonstrating God. And I let him demonstrate me. Then you need your integrity. When it says go, you must go. There's no question about it. Do you lack wisdom? Well, where are you going to go? The high Himalayas? They're all subjective. They live perfect lives, but while their body rots away on the outside. Ramakrishna, one of their greatest exponents, stood in the public square dispensing the most magnificent truths in the world and was dying of a great, ugly, open wound in his throat, a cancer. It's all right if you are going to be subjective. You can live in the kingdom of heaven in your subjective mind. And you can live in the palace in your subjective mind. You can sit in your armchair and go everywhere you want to in your mind. But not from Jesus. He said, you get up and go and take your body with you. Talk to you. Something gives urge to you. So his mother comes to him and she said, son, they haven't any wine. Well, they were all drunk anyway. But anyhow, there, she sat right there all drunk. Why, no, she didn't say all that. She said, they haven't any wine. Well, he said, some water. Of course. And so true to this thing that we're talking about, this principle, so accurate. When they went to drink the wine, they said, the host said, why, this is the best wine. And they do not give that to drunks. They serve the best wine before a person is inebriated, so that they can recognize it. But after they get a little bit under, they don't care what they serve. But he said, this is the very best time. Can we read that? When he brought the wine, he didn't just bring wine, didn't bring out wine. What's the best one? You've got to re-educate yourself a little bit to take. Who are you? And, well, I'm John Smith. I am of such and such education. And that's now reading, great, and all that. You got a lot of good things. A lot of good things, all of that. And a lot of things that are not so hard. On every family tree, there's a video of timber that could be cut out. We all know that. My name is Lanyon. And in archaic French, it means Church of John. Dion was John, and Lamb was the church. Isn't that a beautiful name? That ought to do things for me, didn't it? I didn't notice that it has. Nothing does anything for you. You have to do it for yourself. What you can do when you stop trying to make somebody believe in you and set yourself up like an ugly little toad there, blows it up with your spiritual power or your ability. And you just be yourself in the kingdom of heaven, and you're going to begin to live. See things and experience things. I'm talking about things that you have never experienced before. You will begin to sense a nobility. And gradually and gradually and gradually, carpenters coming toward Jerusalem. He's walking down that towards Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is a four-square thing, you know. City four-square. Fourth-dimensional thing. And he comes down there. He's still a carpenter, still a carpenter, still a carpenter. And he goes in there, and suddenly goes in to where the doctors are assembled. And then he starts talking to the doctors. All things through Christ. The minute he became Christ, the minute he began to let this Christ speak, the minute he began to see that that part of him could do anything. Do you believe that? No. I can do all things through Christ Jesus. Not maybe, or not perhaps, or not because I demonstrate, or not because I work with it. You either hear, or you do not hear. You are not prospered according to how many movements you make with your hands, or what you do, but you are prospered. You are releasing. You are not prospered in the sense they're paying you off. You are releasing an invisible power that has to come out here like that. Now that thing will fall into the dust and be gone. But the matrix of what it stands for will never be destroyed and can be reproduced a million, million, million times if you want. And when you get the matrix, when you see that, the matrix, then, you will perform, you will do that automatically, and I don't care what it is. I can do all things through Christ Jesus. And it's kind of fabulous. That's it. Just got started.
I didn't want to see him stop. I could have stayed here all day long. But he says he never looks at a watch, and he says, please come in and nudge me at the right time, didn't you? Approximately that. It has been a wonderful, wonderful time.